Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Infinite Vibrations. I am your host, Tashi KD Cooper, and today we are here with Yogi Clarence Taylor, and he is going to share his views of yoga, how it's provided healing within his life, the type of yoga practice he prefers, and the tranquility he's gained from his practice just in general. Mr. Taylor, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Good. Good afternoon. How are you today?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I am great. Thank you so much for joining us. I just want to hop right into it. I said that we're going to have a dialogue about yoga, and so I'm just going to give you some questions, and if you can give us some information, we greatly appreciate it. So first off, just tell us a little something about yourself.
Okay. Other than the yoga, I'm also a poet / MC, writer, comic book collector, all that good stuff.
Nice.
Athlete. Yeah.
Okay, what type of sport?
Basketball, primarily.
Basketball,
yeah.
Right.
And
I
a little martial arts.
All right, what type of martial arts?
African martial arts, primarily. Egbe Ogun, African wrestling, quote unquote. Yeah.
Okay. I wanted you to be sure that you say basketball, because I want you to let me just tell my audience, I've taken class with Mr. Taylor, and I think what just really struck me with his classes, they're awesome, but I always used to think that I'm really tall and I have really long limbs and I wouldn't be able to do certain things that some yogis would do because my limbs are so long. And I'm 5'6". Would you share with your audience how tall you are, Mr. Taylor?
I am 6'7".
Seven,
and
yeah.
I probably gained an inch from the yoga, so I'm probably like 6'8" now.
Wow. And when I tell you, he goes into these poses like it's nothing, and it really gives you it gives me motivation that, yes, I can do it. So, wow. How long have you been doing yoga?
On and off since 2000. But the last, I would say, 3 years, I've been more consistent. Been the most consistent I've probably ever been in the last 3 or 4 years, yeah.
And when you say consistent, meaning that you practice regularly?
Yeah, because other times I would be on for maybe like a month, and then I wouldn't practice for 2 months. It'd be on and off. But the last 4 years, I would say, I've just been really consistent, and I've actually improved the most and learned the most during that time. My growth as a yogi has really been tremendous during that time.
Okay. Now, what was your initial motivation? What brought you to yoga?
A basketball injury, playing basketball, and I ruptured a disc in my lower back, dunking. And me being skeptical and distrustful of Western medicine, Western allopathic medicine, I should say, I didn't want the surgery because I've seen people who had the surgery who had similar injuries, and it was never a good look, and they always have to go back. And it seems like every time they go back, the injury gets worse and worse. So I was like, eh. And so I was reading in one of my sister's Essence magazines at the time, looking through it rather than not really reading it. And I seen this guy doing a yoga pose, and I just tried it. And it was a spinal twist, actually. And when I tried the twist, it automatically my back felt better. And so I kept on and off throughout the years. And then in college, I would play around with it, but I got really – I started taking it serious like in 2000, and so that was like, yeah.
And so, has it alleviated the pain altogether?
Not altogether. I mean, for the most part, I'm good. But some days, it's still like my back still just, you know, it has ups and downs. I deal with that now. But I think, you know, because I had friends who had the surgery, and you know, they're like in wheelchairs and limping around. Like, no, no.
Right, right. So it was a really good alternative. Oh my gosh,
yeah.
That is so awesome.
Yeah.
So tell me this, so did you take classes? Did you teach yourself? How did you, like I know you said you saw the pose in the magazine, but from there, did you take a lot of classes? Like how did you go about your practice initially?
No, it was a while before I actually went into a class. Before that,
okay.
I was just reading from books, and I would go in the library and get books, or, you know, bookstores and get books. And, you know, I was the yoga book king. I was the official yoga nerd. I would read everything from books. And then I started doing VHS's, videotapes and whatnot. And Going to the classroom was, like, intimidating. So I finally went into the classroom, and it was like, I mean, it was like the dynamics, the social dynamics has changed now. But back then, wasn't too many men in yoga classes. Black men,
okay. Especially
not. So
gotcha.
That was like, you know, and you know, they would look at you like, what are you doing here? Right. You know, so
right.
So I would go into class like once a week, and I would take whatever. I would try to learn one thing a week, and I would take that home and practice with it. I would try to learn one key component or whatever the teacher said. And I would, you know, use that to my advantage and just work with it.
Okay, nice. Now, and what benefits would you say that you've gained through yoga, aside from the obvious physical benefit of alleviating the pain in your back? What else have you gained as well?
Other than my flexibility, believe it or not, is improved, and my strength, my overall body strength. Because before I was just like strong in certain areas of my body, was strong in other ones, like, yeah. So I'm more balanced now, I would say.
Okay.
I mean, I'm like, yeah, I'm learning to use, and I learned to move as like a unit, as opposed to, like a lot of times with the weightlifters, nothing is wrong with weightlifting because I like weightlifting myself, but a lot of times they use a lot of isolation movements and they just move one part of the body.
Mm-hmm.
And strengthen one part. It's like the old Frankenstein. We're going to do arms, legs, back, and all this, yada, yada. You're just putting pieces together. But if you move more holistically as a unit, it would probably be better for the system and for the body.
Right.
And it's
I get
more
that. Okay. Yeah, that makes so much sense. So, because I'm nowhere right now in this moment in time, I'm nowhere near yogi. I'm the Y to the yogi. And I'm telling you, I was mentioning in my last episode how I love how I feel after a yoga practice. I feel so good and invigorated, but it really takes a lot of motivation for me to actually do it. And as the more I've been following this video recently, unfortunately, I missed that. I can't get to your classes. My schedule has been very interesting in the past 2 years. But this video that I have been following, I'm noticing more as I pay attention to my body that the strength, I see how these people are, how you guys are getting into these poses, is that strength. And I'm like, oh my goodness, yoga is not easy. But I appreciate looking at what the end result can be. And then I also appreciate the process of seeing that, okay, I can kick my foot out a little bit more further today than I did the other day. So I hear what you're saying. And I see that it is definitely a difference in weightlifting. Because I don't know, for me, it's coming more from the inside, like that inner strength to get into this pose and really not even to hold it. Let me just get there. So,
yeah,
I appreciate you guys, and I definitely bow down, if you will. So I hear that there are different forms of yoga.
Oh, yes.
Which one or ones do you do?
I'm a little eclectic. I kind of do a little bit of everything, but the one that really resonates with me is like Ashtanga Vinyasa yoga. And that's from Ashtanga is where you get power yoga and stuff like that. It's the derivative of Ashtanga. And there's another form of Ashtanga called Rocket. But those, I mean, it's more to it. It's more, you know, it fits like an athlete. For me, it's physical, but at the same time, it's a mental and spiritual aspect to it too. But initially, what got me was the physical.
Okay, and is that what you started out with, or you tried other types?
I tried other stuff, but when I did my first Ashtanga class, I was like, oh, this is it. This is what I've been waiting for. It just automatically, I was just like, wow. Because at that time, I knew I was an athlete. At the time, I could still run a mile on like a 6 minute. So, you know what I'm saying? And so the teacher was like, you know, after this class, make sure you get a lot of rest and drink a lot of water. And I'm saying to myself, like, what are you talking about? I'm an athlete. I can do this. But at the time, though, I made it through the class, but that was the hardest thing I've ever done at that time. And I've done a lot of me in a way I've never been taxed. But at the same time, it was like you said, how you have the feeling after the class. It was just like, oh.
Yeah.
But when I was going through it, I was like, what is this? This is torture, you know.
Right. And would you say, like, I guess what made it to be torture? Like, was it the pace? Or finding the poses?
It was a little of both. Because, and it was, the transitions were like incredible. And the guy who taught the class, he was like 55 and he was moving like he was 18. And I was just like, this is incredible. And, you know, at one time I just sat on the floor and just watched. And I was like, all right, I'm done.
Wow, okay. So I mentioned that I've taken class from you. Would you share with our audience what type of yoga that you're certified in? Is it the Ashtanga Vinyasa yoga?
Actually, no, I'm not certified in Ashtanga Vinyasa. I'm certified in Correlational Vinyasa yoga, and this was a system developed by the incredible Ms. Avril James Hunt. And she's a phenomenal teacher. And what it does is basically it connects one pose to another and shows you how, say, like if you were doing, say, like a camel pose, and you would see the correlation between camel pose and bow pose or bridge pose. You would see all the correlations and all the same actions. And you would see how you would need to repeat those actions in the pose. And the pose is actually the same thing, just turned at different angles, and that type of correlation.
Oh, okay.
Did that make sense, or was I rambling?
No, that makes sense. You're saying if you're showing how each kind of pose is connected, and sometimes you're in the same stance, but you just may be at a different angle.
Exactly. Like if you do a bridge pose, and if you do bridge pose on your knees, that's essentially that's camel pose. If you do bridge pose on your stomach, that's bow pose. So it's like, it's all three poses are essentially the same. The only thing different is their relation to space. One is on the knees, one is on the back, and one is on the front.
Okay.
But it's essentially the same pose. So if you learn how to do one pose, then you learn how to do those three. It's the same actions you need in all of them.
Right. Now, is it easier to hold a pose in one of those positions? Like, is it more challenging if you're standing versus on your knees?
It probably is. I mean, everybody's different. So, yes, I'm sure it is for certain people, certain poses. I mean, certain, you know, like one you have nothing essentially except for your knees, and the other one you have the ground to support you, and one, two, you have the ground to support you. And so.
Okay. Right. Okay. So how often do you practice yoga? And when you practice it, how long do you practice it?
That is a very good question. Okay. Well, initially when I first started, I was an Ashtangi. Like I said, Ashtanga was my thing. And the whole, they're like a couple of series, but the first series of Ashtanga is called the primary series. And that's like 90 minutes. All right.
Okay.
It's around 90 minutes. So, and we would practice that like, you know, once or twice a day because I was really the gung-ho back then. And
oh wow, once or twice a day. Okay.
Yeah, and it would so be like 3 hours. I would get up crazy early in the morning, practice in the morning, and then I would practice in the evening. I got to get back to that eventually. But now it's like, because at one time I felt like if I didn't do the primary series, I did anything less than the primary series, I wasn't practicing. So that was kind of crazy. I kind of changed my mindset now. So now sometimes it's just 5 or 10 minutes, and sometimes it's 90 minutes. So anything in between, and I try to practice at least 3 times a week, sometimes 4, sometimes maybe 5 times a week, but at least 3 times a week. Or actually a little bit every day, but, you know, at least 30 minutes 3 times a week. But I will have, like, 5 minutes practices. I'm like, I ride a bike a lot. When I get off the bike, I'll do some hip opening because the bike tends to get my hips crazy tight.
Okay.
And, yeah. So I at least do 5 minutes a day every day because, you know.
Okay, nice. Now, in your opinion, is there a basic yoga practice that anyone can follow? For instance, are there specific poses that one should engage in as a beginner?
You know, that's a very excellent question. Excellent question. And again, I think you should like respect your body because everybody's different. You have different makeups and different mentalities and whatnot. So I think you should just shop around and try what resonates and what fits with you. I mean, you know, each person. So I think it's kind of insensitive to attach this one thing and say, you got to be able to do this and yada, yada, yada. But I would say just breathe. Work on the breathing exercises. Deep breathing would be like the fundamental. And from that, just I would say try as many forms of yoga as you can and find one that fits with you and, you know, work with it from there.
Okay, I got you. So let me, to give the audience an idea as far as, well, you know what, maybe, I'm going to ask it anyway, but I think you're going to say it depends on the person. Like, how long did it take before you noticed a change within your flexibility? Like a year, a month, week?
You know, wow, great question. Certain parts of the body is different. Like for my hamstrings, I noticed it rather, it was like by maybe like a week or two. But like for my hips, my hips are still, we have this beautiful relationship. Sometimes it's like, no, no, no. And it's been like that. And like other days, it's like, yeah, maybe. I mean, well, my back, like that, my back bends are like that too. So sometimes my back bend is like, yes, I can do this. And other bend is like, no, 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 stop. And so, like I said, it's different. Like some people are just naturally inclined to have open hips and some people are naturally inclined to have open shoulders and whatnot. So it depends on the person.
Okay. Now, like one of my challenges are it's strengthening my wrist and holding that downward dog. So about how long does it take before it stops hurting?
You know what that could do, too? A lot of times the wrist is really not designed to hold weight like that. I do a lot of handstands, so I know. And one thing, you have to change whether the weight is being distributed at, because a lot of times we don't learn how to place weight in our hands. So you have to press closer to the where the fingers meet the palm, there and the fingertips. And take it out of where the crease is. So you can't really place, I mean, in the heel of the hand, really put too much. Yeah, you're putting weight in the heel of your hand, and you really don't do that. I mean, it's inevitable that weight is going to be on the heel of the hand, but focus more toward the fingers, the fingertips, and where the fingers meet the palm, that area right there. And especially the thumb and the first finger, press down on that area. And that'll take a lot of this.
Oh, nice.
And then there's strengthening exercises you have to do too for, well, you don't have to do, but there are strengthening exercises you can do for your wrist and your hand, because as the hand gets stronger, you're going to find that balancing and arm balancing and stuff like that on the hand is a lot easier. The stronger your hand gets and the stronger your core gets, the easier it's going to be to hold certain arm balances. So, yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like I'm going to have to figure out something with my schedule so I can start back with some privates with you.
Yeah, but really, like I said,
I need it in my life. I really do need yoga in my life, and I know it's going to it's good. It's good for me just overall, and I notice every time I do it, I feel so invigorated. Yeah, we'll figure that out offline, off air.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, let me ask you this, because you know the name of the show is called Infinite Vibrations, and I'm always talking about like what are you communicating to the world with your vibrations, with your aura, and so do you feel that your energy field feels bigger after a practice, or just in general because you practice yoga?
Well, I'll tell you this story. I have two friends, and they can always look at me and tell me when I practice and when I have it. And I don't know how they do it, but they look at me and they'll be like, you practice today. And they can be different. They'll be in different spots. They see me, they'll say, you practice today. Oh, you didn't practice today. Why didn't you practice? And it's crazy because they're like almost 100% accurate. And, you know, and I had a friend that told me, you know, I don't know if she was just being silly. I'm just like, you glow after you practice. Do you know that? And I was like, what are you talking about? Baby, I don't know if my energy field is big or not, but I know babies respond to me. Like, they wave at me and smile at me after I practice. So I don't know.
Oh, wow. I love this. Yeah. Oh, wow.
I mean,
now,
I never thought about
ahead,
that. Maybe it is. I don't know. Yeah, that's a good question. Good question.
And so what type, like for me, I feel invigorated. I feel like there's a lightness, a high.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel, it's almost like I can feel chi moving in me, that energy force moving in me. Would you say that you feel that after your practice as well?
Yes. I mean, not all the times, but a large majority of the time, yes. And especially like in the form of yoga I practice, we have like what they call bandhas, which are people translate it as locks, but it's more like a dam, and it stops the energy from escaping the body and redirects energy through the body. And when I have the locks on, you know, I can really feel it. Like afterwards, I just feel like you said, I feel open. I feel like everything is flowing how it should.
Okay. Nice. Now, as I do like a lot of reading, I'm really into chakras and energy fields and things of that sort. And through my readings, I've learned that yoga and the chakra system are directly related. But I notice just in general when I go and I may take class at like a hot yoga, people don't really mention the chakras. Like, is that something that teachers don't do? Like, and when I say mention, meaning like this pose is good for this particular chakra, or like, in your opinion, do you feel as if we're losing sight of the spiritual aspect of what yoga does and are just getting caught up in flexibility, our form, and things
in
of that sort?
In a sense, I do. Yeah, in a sense, I feel that's actually the case, because a lot of times people get so lost in the physicality. But, you know, one of my teachers used to say the real yoga is the yoga you can't see. So, if you really break down the yoga itself, actually means to yoke. Just, you know, useless translation, it means to yoke. And so the form of yoga I practice, like the Ashtanga, that means the eight-limbed approach. And the postures or the asanas are only just one of those eight limbs, you know. And you have the other stuff like sense withdrawal, concentration, you know, the all this, the meditation, all that.
And so the
physical part, the asanas we practice on, because that's the gross, we move from the gross into the subtle. So from the physical, you know, but I think maybe that's the approach they're taking. I can't be for certain what other, you know, systems do. But But I'm thinking maybe that's it because, you know, you have to, like, there's this famous yogi, and he, you know, Iyengar, excuse me. And, you know, there's a story. I don't know how true this story is, but there's a story about this guy came to his class, and, you know, the guy wanted to do all these elaborate poses, and he wanted to astral project or something. And Iyengar was like, learn to touch your toes first, you know. So just be grounded in the, you know, and then from this gross thing moving to the subtle. So I'm thinking maybe that's it. But I do think there's an emphasis on, like, the physicality, and people tend to lose, and that you tend to think that yoga is nothing but physicality, and but it's more of a mind state.
I got you. And my last question before we get some contact information from you is, what's your take on hot yoga versus yoga without the additional heat?
That is a very good question. I had this conversation the other day. Actually, personally for me, I'm not really a fan of hot yoga. I mean, I know it works. I have no doubt that it's effective. Just, but for me, my temperament, I prefer to make my own heat, my own sweat organically, because the external heat is, yes. And I don't know what it is, but it seems like every time I take a hot yoga class, somehow I get injured in a hot yoga class. But I mean, it's an effective system. I can't knock it, but it just doesn't, it's not my
For
preference.
you. Yeah, for you.
Yeah.
Okay, I got you.
But I think it's a great system, though.
Good. I know that you're available for private sessions because I've taken private sessions with you, private parties, and even corporate wellness days. Tell the audience how they can get in touch with you, like all the ways that they can get in touch with you.
Okay, well, on social media, on Instagram, I am Black Yoga Nerd on Instagram, and Facebook I am XPJ7, and 7 is spelled out, and email is XPJ7 at Yahoo, and any one of those ways.
Okay, they can contact you if they want to book a class with you. Yeah.
Exactly. Yep.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Mr. Taylor. It
Well,
was
thank you for
so,
having me.
yeah, it was awesome talking yoga with you. And what I always do, just pardon me, please, I always like to give a plug to my business, Infinite Healing. We are a holistic mobile spa in the Atlanta area, and we bring the experience to you, to the individual, to couples, and to parties. We do spa parties, corporate wellness events. We provide services like chair massages, table massages, hand and foot treatments. We have what we call a self-facial station. We also offer Reiki, which is an awesome modality that involves balancing the energy of the body. We can provide guided meditation as well. We do that at different corporate wellness events as well. So if you are interested and receiving an in-home spa service, or we also travel to hotels or at your corporation or company, feel free to contact us at www.infinitehealingllc.com. Again, that's www.infinitehealingllc.com, or call us directly at 404-425-4840. Again, that's 404-425-4840. And thank you so much for joining us. Have a wonderful weekend. Goodbye.
Thank you.